God is so wonderful. I want to read from the book of Micah, the fourth chapter, beginning at the first verse. As you know, I don't choose my scriptures. I don't ever know what I'm going to read. I come up here, and God inspires me to open my Bible, and He speaks to me. Done that for many years. The fourth chapter, the first verse. But in the last days, and I want you to notice this, the last days. That's what I'd like to dwell on just a little bit tonight. The thought, the last days. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains. And it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and He will teach us of His ways. And we will walk in His paths, for the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And He shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. For all people will walk every one in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. In that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted, and I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth even forever. And thou, O tower of the flock, be the stronghold of the daughter of Zion. Unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion. The kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Now why dost thou cry out aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counsel perished? For pains have taken thee as a woman in travail. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon. There shalt thou be delivered. There the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. Now also many nations are gathered against thee, that say, Let her be defiled, and let our eyes look upon Zion. But they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they His counsel. For He shall gather them as the sheaves into the floor. Arise and thrash, O daughter of Zion, for I will make thine horn iron, and I will make thy hoofs brass. And thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. Don't you feel the Holy Ghost? For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. My word shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that I please, and prosper in that whereunto I have sent it. The last days. You know, they got a song. They sang that song, "We're Living in the Last Days Now." It's a beautiful song. We're living in the last days now. I believe with all of my heart that we are living in the last days. You know, the Lord says here, Bethlehem, thou art not the least, as it is repeated over in the New Testament, when it is carried forth from the book of Micah and from the book of the prophets. And Jesus and the others repeat it. Then it is carried forth saying, Bethlehem, thou art not least among the cities of Judah. For out of thee shall come forth or go forth a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Amen. And the gathering of the people shall be unto him. According to the Bible, there is something great that is going on. I'm glad that tonight as we talk, that the message that we're preaching here is being spread abroad in the city of little Bethlehem over in Israel. Brother Elias says that it's taking well and the people are really loving the tapes. And that it is spreading so that others want it, and that it's going to have a building over in Bethlehem where Jesus was born. And I thought it's so wonderful, Bethlehem in the Western world and Bethlehem in the Eastern world. And the great, wonderful Word of God and the truths of God going forth to accomplish that He pleaseth. And I was thinking how wonderful it is that God would bless. You know, Bethlehem is a little city that about 5 miles south of Jerusalem. And out of Jerusalem, over on a little rocky hill, we've been there about 2,600 feet above sea level, a place of maybe something like 30,000 inhabitants, a place where great things took place. David of old being anointed king, Ruth meeting Boaz and marrying Boaz, a great city, a great history. You know, it is wonderful to know that God's Word tonight, and that our ministry, even by our own voice, on tape tonight, because of Bill's labor, and because of Mitch's labor, and because of God's Spirit, and God's foreordained thing before we was ever born into the world, God putting the Word of God there by our own mouth, speaking the wonderful words of Jesus in His own birthplace. It is so wonderful to know that God hath brought out of Bethlehem a governor. And what makes it so beautiful is that same Jesus that was brought out of Bethlehem over there, that they nailed to Calvary, has been resurrected in Bethlehem over here. And that same Christ that was over there lives in the heart of the Bethlehemites over here. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. And the same Christ in Jesus is here. Well, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. The mighty God of heaven and of earth, we're living in the last days now. Something is taking place. There's a great thing that's happening. Though I know there's a great testing time, I realize that even in this era here, our own area, that there's a great test that's going on. Even the things that Willie is going through concerning his children, Satan getting a lick at him, and even the things that Frank and Dale is experiencing right now, at this moment, all of this, it's a pressure. It's a great thing that brings about pressures. Satan wants to pressure, always pressure. And he's always working to put you under pressure. He works through fear. It's to create fear. You know, it's to create pressure that you might get under fear. Maybe when you buy something and you pay on it and you work hard, the devil will ball everything up and just cause everything to get in a squeeze so that it looks like you're going to lose everything you got. It looks like everything that you got's going to be taken away from you. You know, so that he can create fear. Because fear is just exactly the reverse of faith. Amen. And if he can get your faith in reverse, then the devil can bind you hand and feet. How do you understand that? Right. See, fear is a form of faith, but it is faith in reverse. And when the devil reverses your faith, then he, being a spirit, works through that believing just like Christ works through your believing when your faith is working the other way. That is why it is so important that you line up with the children of God, that you be of one mind, that you have the encouragement of the brethren, the sisters, and that you do the thing of God, always the things that please God, that you don't let the little foxes spoil the vines. Always doing what God wants you to do. See, because it is your believing, it's going to bring you into power. It is your believing. It is not your testimony. You can talk about yourself from now until you get blue in the face. It won't do you a bit of good. The Bible said if a man witness of himself, he only testifies against himself. If I get a pen witness of myself and tell you how great I am and God sent me because I'm so great, I'm a liar. I'm only witness against myself. My own lips condemn me and make me to be a fool in the eyes of the people. For he that testifieth of himself, his witness is not true. God hath not sent him. But he that God testifieth of, he that the Spirit beareth witness of, the Bible teaches that he is righteous. He that conveyeth the word of God to you, and he that speaketh God's word, and he that God sendeth will speak God's word. And the Bible said, he that speaketh God's word, there is no unrighteousness in him. So then God is with him, and God will bless him, and God will show him the way. But you see, a person's always telling you, God said this and God said that, and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. That man's a liar. He's just like a jackrabbit going here, there, and everywhere. But brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. When you see a man that says, God's word said, God's word said, God's word said, you better fear, because God is on your trail. And you're going to have faith in that word. So then the devil will tell you anything. He'll do it through dreams. He'll do it through prophecies. He'll do it through interpretations. He'll do it any way that he can. He'll do it through conversations. He'll do it through the law. He'll do it through your creditors. He'll do it through commercial means. Any way, he'll do it in the church. Do it through the preachers. He'll do anything to get your faith turned around and get your faith in reverse. He'll do it through feelings. You can get the feeling one way. And you say, oh, I got cancer. I got this and I got that. And I got problems. And he'll do it through little happenings. Somebody will say, I heard such and such and such. And you'll just latch on to it like that. Won't be anything to it whatsoever. And he'll get you in a condition of fear of you and your loved ones. See, he'll get you in a condition of fear. He does that so that he can control you, so he can get control of you. But brothers and sisters, be bold as a lion. Be bold as a lion. Be bold as a lion. How do you know what boldness like a lion is? You know, you see a lion walking through the jungle, or really he's a plainsman. He's not really a jungle fellow, you know, but he stalks the jungle to let them know he's the boss. And you'll see him walking through there, you know, and he'll come walking through there just taking his time. He ain't going to hurry for nobody. He ain't going to move out of nobody's way. The elephant might be big as the side of the barn, but he ain't going to move. The elephant will have to go around. He ain't moving. And he'll just come walking right on through there, you know, minding his own business. And you know, as a rule, a lion don't attack anybody. Did you know that? A lion is a rule. He don't attack anybody. They've learned that lions, as a rule, don't attack anybody. They just go on minding their business. If you leave them alone, they'll leave you alone. And he'll just go walking right through there, you know, and just minding his own business. But now you don't want to bother with him. You want to leave him alone. Let him mind his own business, and you mind yours, and don't bother with him. Because if you stir him up, he may raise up that big paw and give a little roar, and that means go on your way now, and don't be bothering me. Amen. The Bible said, can the lion roar and you not be afraid? Like Brother Branham said one time, he said, a lion don't have to attack you. He said, you just meet him coming around the corner. You just hear him roar over in the valley. So that's enough to give you a heart attack. See, and when the lion roars a little bit, he just said, now go on, fellas, and leave me alone. Because I want to mind my own business. But I'll tell you right now, when you cross him and you stir him up, you got to fight to the finish. Lions don't give up. Lions don't quit. See, there's something on the inside of a lion that makes him know that he's king of the jungle. That God made him that way and gave him that heart. If a son of God is walking this earth, he's got that kind of heart. No man can be a son of God and have any other kind of heart. Now, he might be a babe, you know, you take a little cub. He might not have grown up yet, and he might run for mom and daddy. But you give that little cub line a little time to grow up, and he won't run from nobody. And he won't run looking for mom and daddy either. I'll tell you, he'll stalk those fields, and everything that gets in his way will move out of his way. He'll see to that. So then, a son of God, he is the king. Glory to God, he's bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And he's the king, and when he walks through, he owns this world. Jesus said, all things are yours. Heaven and earth is yours. All things are yours. And you walk through this earth. You don't have to take the tuck heads. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to get fear. You know, fearful. You don't have to get your faith in reverse. You just keep walking. Get you a straight line and keep walking. Just keep on walking. And everything that gets in your way, you just roar and let him know that you're coming right on through. Just coming right on through. Glory to God. I tell you what, you'll have them to run across your path with shotguns, and you'll have them to run across the path with knives, and you'll have them to run across your path with all kinds of things and money and everything else. But just keep on walking. Just keep on walking. When they get in your way, just give a little roar. And let them know. And those that get out of the way, leave them alone and keep on going. Keep on going. But when you roar and something gets in your way, hit him like that and lock him there and stay there till you kill him. Don't stop. Kill him. Move him out of the way to where he'll never cross your path again. Now you say, you don't believe that, Brother Pike. That's God's way of doing it. When he crosses, you get rid of him to where you don't have trouble out of him anymore. Just keep on a walking. Keep on a moving. When that thing gets in the front of you and it locks up with you, kill him and put him out of commission. Now if he runs over there and he takes a snap or two at you and you have to bite him back a little bit and he realizes he's made a mistake and he hits the trail, let him go and leave him alone. But if he's going to be that kind of fellow that's going to show you, put him out of commission once and for all. You are the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Bone is bone and flesh is flesh. Satan goeth about like a roaring lion. But brother, we're not like a roaring lion. Hallelujah, we're not like a roaring lion. Satan goeth about like a roaring lion. God's people are sons of God. They cannot die. They cannot be killed. They own heaven and earth. They're eternal. What then do you have to be afraid of? The Bible said, fear not him that is able to kill the body and after that can do no more. Don't be afraid of somebody that's able to jab a knife in you and spill your blood. Don't be afraid of somebody that's able to shoot you. Somebody's able to kill you. Don't be afraid of them, but rather be afraid of God, who's able after that he killed you to destroy your soul in hell. That's the one to fear. Just keep on the walking. Glory to God, keep on the walking. Hallelujah. You're God's man. You're God's woman. You're the sons and daughters of the living God. You don't have to be afraid of cancer. You don't have to be afraid of TB. You don't have to be afraid of insanity. You don't have to be afraid of the people. You don't have to be afraid of nobody. Because God is with you. God is with you. Hallelujah. In my lifetime, I've had to face policemen. I've had to face judges. I've had to face all kinds of people. But see, I've never had to face anybody but what God was by my side. I've never had him to leave me. Gary, never. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but I'll always be with you even until the end of the world. But you know what he tells you to do? He said, now, Joshua, I got a job for you to do. Come on, son. I got a job for you to do. Now, I want you to listen at me, Joshua. He said, I want you to be courageous now. I want you to be of a good courage, Joshua. And I want you to be courageous and stay in my word, Joshua. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. Don't try to do your own thing. Just stay with God, but keep on doing what I tell you. And he said, Joshua, do just what I tell you. And he said, be of a good courage, and I'll stand beside you. Then he told Joshua, he said, Joshua, now listen, do exactly what I tell you. Wherever you set your foot, I'll give it to you. And he said, no man shall stand before thee all the days of thy life. And right on, Joshua moved. Glory to God, he had such courage that he run across an angel and he pulled out his sword and was fixing to fight with the angel. When he run across that angel, he was so determined that nobody wasn't going to move him because God had sent him on a mission. He saw that man and he knew that God had said no man would stand before him all the days of his life. And he looked out there and he saw that man and he pulled that sword. You understand what I'm saying? He took one look at him and he thought, now you're a man, but God said no man would stand before me all the days of my life. So he pulled that sword and he was ready to go to battle because he knew he'd win the battle. But about that time, the angel of God said, Joshua! Joshua! And it snapped him to attention. He said, I am the captain of the host of God! Oh, Joshua fell down on his face and said, God, my God! And he began to call on the Lord. Hallelujah! Praise God. Not only was God with him, not only did God give him courage, but God sent his angel there. For he said, I will give my angels charge concerning thee. Hallelujah. They'll walk with you. The angel of the Lord encamp round about them that love him. And they're right there with you. And every time you have a problem, the angel of God is right there with you. Hallelujah. That's why you need to believe. You need to have faith. You need to do those things that please God so that condemnation won't strike your heart and you won't find yourself going weak. See, so that you know that you're right. You know that you're with God. You know that God's with you. See, you can't take any chance and guess. You can't do it. You might say, oh, bless God, I'll tell them. But that won't do any good. When you come right down to the task and you might bellow and you might roar and you might think you've got it. But oh, let me tell you, when you get down to the nitty-gritty and the fire begins to burn, you'll go weak as water. Because your mind will go back and it'll start being like this, seesawing, saying, wait a minute, am I right? Is that what he said? Did I have that thing right? Am I sure? Do I know that this is what God wanted me to do? Oh, I ain't got myself into a fix. But brothers and sisters, if you settle it in God and you know and you understand, then when the fire comes, you'll just do like the Hebrew children and you'll just trudge right on through. Amen. Glory to God, you'll push right on through the wilderness like the Israelites did. Your feet won't swell and God will take you through and there won't be a sick one among you. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I'm talking about the last days. Hallelujah. Going to really be a time in the last days. Some of you fellas out there, some of you women out there, while you got the greatest opportunity that anybody has ever had, the greatest opportunity, this is the greatest opportunity that anybody has ever had. Why? Because it is the last days, it is that latter time when God said He would pour out of His Spirit upon all flesh. It's that moment, it's that great hour, it's that great time, hallelujah, when God is giving freely to all men that will come to Him. We see here it says, and in the last days. What are you going to do in the last days? He said, in the last days the house of God shall be established. They'll beat them down and they'll push them down. And after a while the saints of God will rise and take the kingdom. And when they rise and take the kingdom, they'll walk over their enemies. They'll walk over all them people that troubled them. And they will establish the house of God. And the Bible said it shall be so beautiful that all nations shall flow unto it. You know, the paper stated today that Jimmy's coming down tonight after 10 days, is it? He's coming down with the commandments. Said he'd come down one time, you know, like Moses now. Come down one time, but he didn't have everything in order. So he wouldn't make his speech from that. He had to go back for the second one. He went back and done a little more writing, a little more studying. Coming down, see? He's coming down to present himself. Coming down. I noticed that they had about 5 men, I believe it was, lined up there in the paper. See, the Lord's showing that midnight cry when gross darkness shall cover the people. Because Jimmy is so representing the black people, the Jewish people coming in, J.C., working toward that peace over there. See, in other words, it shows something. And we spoke of it this morning, how that the crossing into the Canaan land brought the milk and honey. We talked about the man that come out here that's bringing us all that honey out here all of a sudden, the honey man. You know, and I noticed that out of these 5, you know, like the 5 virgins, 10 days up there now, I noticed that out of this, one of them, it stated that his name was Jordan. and said Jordan was going on ahead. You know, it meant that he was being picked up and that they was going to use him in, as chief executive there in the plan of Jimmy. But I thought about that, you know, the crossing over of the Jordan on into Canaan land. Hallelujah. And then it said on the other end of it, said, and this is Jimmy's image maker. You know, I thought about what the Bible said. They would build that to the image. Remember the plains of Dura. Remember where Jimmy comes from. Remember what this is pointing to. There is something that is taking place. God is doing something in this hour. And to think that this very day when we're talking about it, this very hour, this very moment, I guess even about this very time, or either sometime this evening or maybe it's already been, that Jimmy is giving a speech from television to give his experience to let us know what's going on. Why does Jimmy resort to the Camp David? See, why does he keep going to Camp David? Because it has to do with that Jesus the Christ coming in, which will sit upon the throne of David and be raised up as that great and mighty king. But all you know, I saw something happening. Hallelujah. I know you think I'm beside myself, but that's the art. You think I'm beside myself anyway. They thought Paul was beside himself. But I thought about this great turn of event, the corruption that had set in, you know. The flag of communism going up. And then our little flag going up down here, giving God the glory. And I thought about the meeting that we had over yonder under the white tent that had to do with Brother Branham and the resurrection. And I thought about them people coming from down in Texas and what that had to do with concerning Brother Branham, how they went in that vault out there. And I thought about the meeting that we had over at the White House, how that they set the cameras up and how they said we don't allow preachers and priests to do this, but we're going to make an exception. Brother, they didn't make an exception. God made an exception. The preparation of man's heart is from God. And there on the front of the little White House, there we stood preaching the gospel of Christ, condemning the evils of this world, and praising those that have done the right thing. And the man came out and said, it's going back to Washington anyway. I didn't know what he was talking about. But said, sent George Jr. up there and said, tell him, say what he wants to. It's going back to Washington anyway. I didn't know it was going back to Washington the way he was talking about. And he said, just go ahead and tell him to give his inauguration speech. It's all right. Going back to Washington anyway. And there, the man had called, right at that very time, Jimmy had called James Roosevelt. He told him, said, I want the little White House for my next move, for my next campaign. Want to do it like I did last time. And the man said, James, tell Jimmy he's too late. Another Georgia boys beat him to it. Then we came back up here and you drawed up the papers that you did and you signed those papers, hoisted that flag out there. Don't you see something taking place? Oh, there's something that's taking place. The Bible said the saints of God shall rise and take the kingdom, possess it forever and forever. Hallelujah. See, Moses coming down. And then there was a taking over and going over into Canaan. And you know that this is introducing that millennium coming in. There is something signed, sealed, and delivered. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. You know, they're wanting to crown Jimmy, but God has got somebody he's going to crown. Hallelujah. And his name is Jesus, the Lord of lords and the King of kings. God said the saints shall rise and take the kingdom, and after they take the kingdom, then the kingdoms of the world, this world will become the kingdom of our God. Then they'll call and say, Jesus, it's time to come down here. We got the throne of David waiting for you. We've taken the kingdom. And we want to anoint you Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Hallelujah. So then something is taking place. And Jimmy, tonight, what time is it, Gary, that he's supposed to speak? 10 tonight. 10 o'clock tonight. Jimmy probably getting along about the midnight cry, sounds like. Jimmy, coming down, and Brother Gary said that this night, this is the determining factor, the determining speech. As far as his presentation to the people, it is that which proves whether or not he's going to be accepted by the people and have another term of office. This is it. See, there it is again, showing also the Moses side of it, that something has to take place. Oh, it's so beautiful if you can see what God is doing, that the time of the Gentiles has come to a close. And brothers and sisters, God is trying to tell us something. I watch this, even the thing that occurred concerning Frank and concerning Dale. When the thing happened the other day, I got up there just as quick as I could. And I preached a sermon right there on the sidewalk. And I told them how I felt, the way that they had discriminated against our ladies, and how that we'd stood for the right thing, and that they had treated them so evil and so dirty and so low down. And I told it just like it was, because that's the way I believed it. And it kind of shook them up a little bit. But even now, see, I felt sure that that wouldn't end it, because I felt God would want to pull it into court. He's tried to pull it into court for a number of times now. God's, you know, they stayed on our back, and they rode us out here like a horse. And they've done everything they could to tear us down. But God caused us to survive, hallelujah. And we rose above the onslaught of the evil ones. And we triumphed over them. And we couldn't do anything. The devil was among us, dividing our people and causing problems. But God booted him out. Now it was come power, strength, the salvation of our God, hallelujah. But the accuser of the brethren is cast out. Accuse them day and night before God. Now the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God, as it says on the flag. And of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever. And I thought about the onslaughter. How that they pounced on Talmadge, because the devil knew that Talmadge was an instrument in the hand of God. And ever since Talmadge helped me the way he did, in that Fort Knox thing to overcome over there, the devil got on his back. When he numbered himself with little Bethlehem, the devil got on his back. All of his life, everything was well with him. You know, to that extent. But the devil got on his back. But God has brought him through it. And he's winning out over the whole situation. As a matter of fact, that was his last hearing. Now, brethren, Satan is determined to try to disgrace our ladies out here. They have mocked them. They said their ungodly, devilish things against them. That's made me bawl on the inside. They've slurred and they've said things and they've talked and they've mocked. We've had to swallow it down and we've had to take it. You know, and we've had to go on because we wasn't in the position to do what we needed to do. We had to just go on. And they were determined to make our ladies. The devil knew that we had ladies out here. And he wanted to make them look like a bunch of prostitutes. And make our men like a bunch of whoremongers. Because he saw something pure out here and he couldn't number it with the world. And he's done everything he could to degrade it. And he's called them thieves and everything else. When I went up there, I thought, I'm going to settle this thing once and for all. It might be a scene. It might be going to jail. Whatever it is, I'm going to settle the thing. And when I went up there, that's what I meant to do. And I still mean to do it. And they took and they done the way they did, dragging my daughter into it. And then not too long ago, they made an attack on my Cindy. And then they made an attack on woman after woman out here. And I'll tell you one thing. If they want to fight, they can get a fight. I mean a sure enough fight. I mean a fight till death. Stay with it until God does something. until he shakes them out of their socket. Amen. If they want to fight, we'll fight with them. We've tried to be peaceful and we've tried to do right out here. We've tried to stand up for the right thing and we've tried to be merciful. We've tried to do everything we could to love them, give and help. But if they want war, we'll give them war like they've never had in their life. I mean it, brethren. I prayed day and night and I said, God, don't let me move until you move, God. Don't let me be one day late. Not one day late. And if that's what they want, we're in condition to do it. Our brethren have got rooted and they've got grounded and they're together and they're ready to stab or something. And I intend to see just exactly what they've got to say about the whole situation. And when this thing comes up, I intend to be there. Because the integrity of our church is at stake. The integrity of our Christianity is at stake. The integrity of our ladies is at stake. If I have to go to the Capitol and sit on the steps of the Capitol, if I have to go to the White House and sit on Jimmy's steps, I'll do it. You say, oh, you wouldn't, so help me God, I'll do it. I feel like when there's a cause worth standing up for, if it takes time, if it takes years, if it takes prayer, if it takes fighting, if it takes your life, you should do it. Not be a coward and back off of it. And I intend to find out just exactly what's going on. It's like when that lawyer attacked Brother Zale's son. And I defied him in the courthouse room. And I told him, I said, I'll win out, you'll lose. He said, I'll invoke the law, you invoke the Bible. And we'll see who wins. I said, God will win. I'll tell you beforehand and give you some first-hand prophecy. I'm going to win in the name of Jesus and you're going to lose. And to his shame, he had to swallow down and he lost. To the extent that the same old judge had to sit there with tears in his eyes saying, I feel like Pilate. Brother Taylor and I laying our hands on him, praying and casting the devil out. I believe God will be with us. When I walked down the halls of the Carda over in Fort Knox, Kentucky, and they had an open and closed case on my son, George Jr. And he said, Daddy, I don't understand. He's a courageous person, but he said, I don't understand. I said, what do you mean? He said, you're so calm, so collective, so sure. He said, Daddy, there ain't a hope, there ain't no way. I said, we will win. And the lawyer came to me. And the lawyer let me know there wasn't no way. I said, God told me the way. I said, lawyer, I want you to listen to me. And he said, yes, sir, I'll listen. I said, I want to tell you what to do and what to say. Because we're going to win. And I told him and he presented it and won out. Glory to God, we won out and they done our way. There is a way. Jesus said, I am that way. Glory to God, the saints of God shall rise and take the kingdom and possess it forever and ever. Out of Zion shall go forth the law. Thou, little Bethlehem, hallelujah, art not the least among the cities of Judah. Out of thee shall come forth the governor that shall govern my people. And the Bible says, and now is the hour when he shall be known to the ends of the earth. Read it. I read it to you tonight. The latter part of the scripture. What is this? The last days. And the song said we're living in the last days now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You say, oh, you can't do it. We've already done it. You come too late. Glory to God. We've already done it. You come too late. You say, what do you mean? You got it yet to do. I'm just going out to possess the land. I've already done it. Already taken care of. Hallelujah. You say, well, what are you going to do about it? Where have I put my foot? He said, just say it's yours and go on and do what you want to do. And the old lion just keeps on walking. Keeps on walking. And nobody don't stop it. Nobody. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want us to get up and be men, folk. I don't want a Jim Jones thing where you have to set up a line out there and get a bunch of people to march by in a deception. Have to deceive them into making them think they drink lemonade while they die. I want somebody that's got enough of God and enough of godly insides in them to stand up and look square in the face of opposition and say, I'm a man for God, like they did in the dark age, and not deceive them into nothing. Let them stand for what they believe. Stand, having done all to stand. The Bible said, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth. Hallelujah. It's time that the people of God done something. It's time that they took a stand for the right things. The weapon of our warfare is not carnal, but mighty. Ours is mighty through the casting down of strongholds, the pulling down of imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And like the vision that Danny said the other night, said, Daddy, all of our people was armed with swords, but said you took two swords and you went away. And said, when I saw you come back, said you was tired, Daddy, but said you had defeated the whole army by yourself. Everything was all right because God had taken care of it. I believe it like that. The battle is not to the strong, the races of the swift, but the battle belongs to God. Don't matter whether he uses one or 1,000. We've got a job to do, and we're going to do it. They're not going to walk over our lady folks. They're not going to disgrace them. They're not going to put their hands on them. And I waited for them to make the move. I prayed to God and I said, God, you drag it into court. That's all I want you to do. If you want me before those blaspheming people, drag it into court. And I'll be there with bells on. I'll be there. You say, well, you ain't much of a lawyer. No, but glory to God, I got the best one that ever lived. You ain't much of a judge, but the judge is my father, hallelujah. And I'm his son. And he's not on their wretched payroll to do their evil biddings. He'll judge righteously. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Hallelujah. Glory to God. She signed, sealed, and delivered. That change has come. The Lord has made it. You love Jesus? All right. Let's stand together. I thank you for your patience. You say, what are you talking about, Brother Pike? I'm talking about the last days. You know, I'm a real peaceable man. Real peaceable man. Always been peaceable all my life. I'm a peaceable man. Peaceable person. I don't like disturbances. I don't like a lot of noise. I like to be quiet and peaceable and calm, collective. I love to be loving and kind. I like for people so we can fellowship, you know, and love one another. I like to do that because that's my nature. I don't like to do the other way. But you know, there's a time for all things. When me and the sheriff headed out up there in the courthouse, and I told him, I said, God sent me out there to do a work, and y'all stay on my back all the time. I can't get my work done for God. I said, God's going to tear y'all up for this. And he did. Put a $1 million suit in against the sheriff and killed a policeman and shot another one up like a wooden duck. Tore this place up here. And today, the police have respect for us. When that thing occurred over there the other day, they never lifted their voice. They never rose up one little bit against us. They never act arrogant. They backed off while I preached the sermon. But I tried to stay out of it, even though I couldn't. They come out here to get us into it. And put us on the front page and put us into TVs and everything else. Colleges and everything. I tried to stay out of it, tried to stay away from it. But the thing is, we don't want to get into it because of foolishness. But if that's what they want, if that's what God wants, then that's what I want. That's what I want. All right, let's sing this little chorus together. I'm sure that Talmadge didn't want to get into the news media the way he did. The Lord said, I'll magnify him. And what I understood, God magnified him. He's known all over the world now. God's run him through the cleaners and they took their shots at him. They hadn't been able to pin him down yet. And as I said, the letter I wrote must have done good because he said, let him that is without sin cast the first stone. And God magnified him. And God will deliver him and has delivered him like he said he would. Because God keeps his word. God said it. God will do it. God is faithful who will do it. So then when things come, then we just have to stand up like a man and go on. Stand up like a real woman and go on. The women of the early frontier church had to be courageous. Many times it costed them and their children their lives. The Indians burned the homes to the ground. Mothers was mutilated. But the testimony never died. The spirit of frontier mothers lives on today in the hearts of other human bodies. The courage of those men that died blazing the frontier to bring a better government and a safer place for my little babies and your little babies. Their spirits still live in the heart of great men today. And they'll continue to live throughout the ages and throughout eternity. And brethren, a life's not much in this world. And the greatest worth that I can find for a life in this world is to give it to Jesus. Or to do it for Jesus, that it might live on for Jesus. The first thing that we're going to do, may not be but one of you, may not be any of you, I may have to do it like Danny's vision. I may have to do it alone. Yet in the vision, all of my people was armed with swords and ready to go. And yet that they did not go, it wasn't because they were not willing or ready. But it just happened that God did it that way and there was not needed to go. But they were ready, armed and ready to fight, Danny said. Said, Daddy, they were ready to fight. Said, even the little ones was ready to fight. Said, even the little children said they were ready to go to war, Daddy. Stand with you. And I believe that. I believe even the little ones here have that kind of conviction. And I know there's always a Judas. There's always a coward that'll run when the battle gets hot. And I know Gideon, when he took them down to prove them, there was those that turned back because it'll show up the hypocrite. But I tell you something. There's some that are great frontiersmen. I know that because they stood here and blazed the trail for years and stood with me like men and women. And ain't nobody run them off and ain't nobody scared them off. And ain't nobody proved them to be a coward. And I want Brother Taylor to take those papers that we've got. And I want to get some signature to us. And I want everybody that's not a coward, I want you to sign it. If you're a coward, I don't want you to sign it because if it ever come to stand up, you'd be a coward. And you wouldn't want to get involved because of your name and integrity or what you're doing. So we don't want any Judases. But them that's really men and women that's willing to back up what they sign and what they believe in, I want you to sign these petitions when Frank passes them out to you. And I want every signature that's available, every one of every person that we've got, every person that you know, every person, every relative, whether here or abroad in another town, another state, whatever, I want their signatures. And if they won't have a little war, we're going to have a little war. And we're going to let them know that we're not a bunch of cowards that can't stand up for something, and we're not some that's going to back off because of some woman that stuck her hoary head up out there to take prayer out of school. That's right. If I have to take my people and march them up the trail in their beautiful long dresses up the middle of the highway and make the police escort them. No, you say you can't do that. I did it in Mississippi. They kept on till they got us stirred up, and I went uptown and made the police escort us and stopped in the middle of town. They put the PA system on the back of the truck and preached hellfire and brimstone to them in their own city on the busiest day they had when they tried to beg off. I said, and they said, no, not the weekend. I said, the weekend, the busiest day. We're going to be there in the middle of it. So that's what we had to do. Our people had signs across their shoulders, all kind of signs. And like the song says, the truth was marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Onward, Christian soldier. Marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. Hallelujah. If that's what it takes, if they want to put our names in the paper, we'll give them something to read about, something to write about. If they're so interested in little Bethlehem, they want to find out something about us, we'll let them find out something about us. If we had to parade the streets, parade the cities, and parade the highways. You say you wouldn't do it, Brother Pike, so help me God, I'll do it. If that's what it calls for, I'll do it. I preached on the street corner. I preached in front of the banks. I preached out in the squares. I preached out in the highways, wherever I had to preach. I just a quiet sort of a person that I love to be quiet. I don't like to bother nobody. But I don't like for folks to bother us either. Let's sing this chorus. Let me give you just another swallow of water. Let's sing this little chorus, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." Hallelujah. If you really love Jesus, then let's love Jesus. Let's love Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's love Jesus. Say, Brother Pike, they'll write y'all up as a bunch of fanatics. I'd rather be wrote up as a bunch of fanatics standing up and raising my voice and letting them know that we're decent than to be wrote up as a bunch of prostitutes and whoremongers when it's a lie and us not even lifting our voice to defend the truth. Paul said, I'm set for the defense of the gospel. I said this the other day. I don't believe it was right for Frank to smack that man in the nose or the face. I don't believe that's right. I told Frank, I don't believe fighting is right. I believe it's wrong. I believe he ought not to have done it. I do. But I tell you one thing I believe. I believe it's better to do that than it is to be a coward and not stand up for something that's right if you ain't going to be a Christian. That's what I feel. At least that shows a little manhood and a little concern that he's concerned about his wife and he don't want everybody calling her something that's not right. And he wants them to know that she's a lady. And that's the way I feel. If a man can stand up that way for his wife, then it looks like people could stand up for God. And stand up for what's right. Now, I want you to sing this little chorus with me. How I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. To me He is so wonderful. To me He is so wonderful. To me He is so wonderful. Because He first loved me. It's like I heard, I don't know that this is true, but I heard it today, and if it is, I certainly admire it. I heard it just recently that when Brother Paul Stone had his little new addition to the family. His wife was under care, but he had made an agreement for the care of those that were supposed to be in the rooms of the ladies. And some man doctor went breaking through there, and he went in after him and got in there. And when the man told him what he was fixing to do, Paul said, "I understand." He told him, said, "You're not fixing to do anything. Get out of here." And they had a round. But let me tell you, folks, God help me and help you to make a scene, if it takes making a scene, to make a scene to be decent. If that's what it takes, you make a scene. Don't make a scene to be a liar, to be a cheat, to be a swindler, or to do something out of the way. But if it takes making a scene to stand for decency, you stand for something and don't be afraid to do it. Let them know who you are and what you are, what you believe and what you stand for. It's like I told them up yonder at TGNY. I said it's been a continual discrimination against us out there. Continual thing. Let's sing that again, can you? Let's sing it like this. Oh, do I love Jesus? He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Oh, do I love Jesus? Oh, do I love Jesus? Jesus first, love me. You know, I asked God to pull it into court if that's what he wanted. And see, it's going into court. There ain't nothing I can do about it. You say, well, that's Frank's affairs. That's Dale's affairs. I could say, well, Dale's my daughter, Frank's my son-in-law. That would make me involved. But if I eliminate that, say, no, not for that. We'll just mark that out if you want to look at it that way, to have something to accuse. Another thing, my Susie is pulled into it. She's still at home. I have to stand for her. She's pulled into it because she'll have to be one of the witnesses. She was there when the thing transpired. Not only that, Sister Lorraine was there during the fight when the thing took place. Sister Cantrell was there. She didn't see the fight, but her little daughter did. I was there, not to see the fight, but the last episode out on the sidewalk, and I was involved in it. So then there ain't no way that I can just bypass it. It's God pulling me into it. And if I'm to be pulled into it, I want to do my best. You know, if I was a man that was going to fight, if I was a man that's going to fight, and God forbid that I ever do that, I guess it's been 30 years, me and Betty figured up the other day, it's been 30 years since I've ever had anything like that. I've been hit hard in my lifetime. I've been hit with people's fists when it would bring the blood and I'd have to pick myself up off of the ground. I've been hit that way fighting. I've been hit that way when I was boxing. And I've hit men hard enough that the blood spurted. I know what it is to be hit. But it's been 30 years or more since we've exchanged any blows with people. And God has kept me all these years. And I believe He'll still keep me. And I'm not talking about going out there fighting them with our fists. But if I was a man that done that kind of thing, then I would want to do it till the job was finished. That's the way I was. I wanted to do it. The man that set off and saw on one occasion, he said, "Brother Pike, you've got a killer's instinct." I said, "I don't know what that is." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "You got an instinct that you have to fight to the finish, that there's no stopping." If that's what it is, that's the way I feel, because that's the way it is in my heart. I think you should fight to the finish. If there's something that's got to be done, you should not stop till it's done. Whether it's work, whether it's a fight, whatever. The Bible said, quit like a man. When David fought with a sword, he fought till it cleaved to his hand. You know, I know some of you have worked till it cleaved to your hand. I've worked till it cleaved to my hand, and I couldn't get my hand loose to lay the hammer down or whatever I was using. It wouldn't turn loose, and I have to do it like this. And I'm sure you've had to do it. And prize them one at a time till I could get them loose. And then when I'd get them loose like that, I'd let it drop out of my hand, whatever I was using. Working long hours. And David fought till the sword cleaved his hand. And he had to do it that way to get it out of his hand. We ought to do it like a man. Whatever it calls for, we ought to do it like a man. That's the way God wants it. Do it like a man. Quit like a man. So then let's work together. And let's do something for God. If you got a job at Bethlehem to do, do it like a man. Stay with it. Do it like a man. Let's don't be a coward. And every time we get a little puny or something gets wrong with us, quit. Let's don't do that. Let's lift our hands up and love Jesus, can we? While Brother Taylor's coming to dismiss us tonight, I want you to remember the meetings. Remember the men's meetings. Be a real man. Don't be a coward. Remember the meetings here. Remember your brothers and sisters. Love one another. Stand for one another. You're going to need one another. Sometimes the only way to touch a person's heart is to let the love of God be manifested indeed and let them see that you love them indeed in the time of need. And I want you to love one another. There's some battles that's coming up. And I don't like to get involved for the ministry's sake. But when God's involved, brethren, I wouldn't miss it for nothing in the world. It don't matter with me if the police, the judge, the lawyer, it don't matter who it is. If God's involved, I wouldn't miss it for nothing in the world. That's my heart and my life and my burning desire. I remember a church affair. I'd like to say this while you got your hands up and your eyes closed. I remember a church affair that took place at Kennesaw, Georgia, many long years ago, many years ago. I wasn't involved in it. But they attacked the people there and they got them so tore up till finally the people, the church people, they lined the streets of the city and they stood. I mean, they were upset and there was a slew of them. And they stood like men and women. And they fought in the face of fire hydrants and hoses when they took the fire hoses and knocked them down with it. But they stood like men and women in face of all of it, standing for what was right. And I remember here in the state of Georgia, when they tried to put somebody at the Capitol that the people didn't want, the farmers said, before they'll do it, we'll take our pitchforks and drive them out of the Capitol. And they went up there with their pitchforks to drive them out of the Capitol and stood for something. And I believe there's a time to stand. I believe there's a time to be quiet. There's a time just to set off and stand off and look. And there's a time to rise and take the kingdom. And it's got to come out of Bethlehem. And if Bethlehem has to be the one to start it, to shake the people up, then that's what it will be. If that's what it's to be, then that's what it's to be. We're the ones that took the step so far. The papers have been signed here so far. The flag is flying here so far. And if that's what it takes, that's what it'll be. Our liberties are going down the drain. The taxes are swallowing the people up. Everything is going crazy. Let's just love Jesus as Brother Taylor comes tonight.